that is involved, every church that is represented. We are so happy that you've chosen to take a few days to be with some of your apostolic brothers and sisters. Amen. This is a oneness camp meeting. This is a Jesus name camp meeting. This is a holiness camp meeting. This is a tongue-talking camp meeting. Praise God. And let me tell you, amen, this is a camp meeting where we believe in praying in the altar. If you're one of these, you want a quick little sermon so you can run out there and get a bite to eat and fellowship, let me tell you, we love to fellowship. But the most important fellowship we can have is right around the altar, getting a touch from the Lord. The altar will change you. The altar will transform you. Praise God. And I found out the longer I stay at the altar, the more a difference it makes in my life. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Calhoun doesn't need any introduction. He is a dear friend to all of ministers up here. This man is serious about truth. He is serious about the gospel. He's serious about holiness. He is serious about ministry. Been in his church. I've been there many, many times. He pastors a wonderful church. They are a worshiping church. They are a holiness church. And they're a doctrine-loving church. And they love their pastor. And I'm going to tell you, he preaches the same thing at home that he preaches anywhere he's at. And I've seen him in his own pulpit take a stand and have a backbone and refuse to bend. And Brother Pinell, man, every preacher that comes to the place, they have to pay a price to do it, to take a stand. We got a preacher tonight that he has taken a stand and he's earned his stripes. Amen. And he's fought the fight. And this past week, he just became a grandparent. I know he looks so young. Looks like he couldn't be a grandparent. But he acts old, I'm going to tell you. Anyway. But I'm not going to tell you what we say about him. But anyway. But we love Brother Calhoun. He was here last year, blessed us year before that. And I think we were just as excited coming back to hear the same speakers this year. We knew what we were going to hear. And how many's going to help the preacher preach tonight? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Brother Calhoun, we love you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. After an introduction like that, what do you say? I appreciate for the weeks. I appreciate this camp. And I've enjoyed myself thus far. What wonderful word of God that we heard here today. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the word of the Lord that was preached here this afternoon and how it challenged us? I want to be challenged by the word of the Lord. I want the word of God to find me, just like he said. The Bible said it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of my heart. I believe preaching not only saves us from what we are, it can save us for what we might become. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the future is. But if we'll let the Word of God work, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents, amen, of our heart. And God, in His Word, finds us. And I'm so thankful that it found each and every one of us. I'm like everybody else. I didn't know. I wondered why Brother Townley was sweating so. And I found out. Amen. I probably shouldn't say this, but we found out Superman didn't need a phone booth today. He was... Amen. Praise God. I appreciate Brother Townley such a sincerity about this good man of God. That bleeds through in his ministry, and what a blessing he was to us through the word of the Lord today. And I'm looking forward to the rest of this week, amen. And not my part, but hearing Brother Townley, this man of God. It's good to be with all these other brethren. We appreciate them so much and their testimonies here tonight. And we honor each one of you. It's good to be with these sponsoring brethren, Brother Thrasher, Johnson and Johnson. Praise God. I love the Johnson family. I love Elder Johnson and Sister Johnson. And as a matter of fact, her birthday was the other day. I think she mentioned that last night. And I sent her a text. I don't know if she got it, but I said, "Happy birthday from your third son." Amen. I realize I come in third, but hopefully it's a close third. Amen. Not too far behind the rest. But I appreciate them, the Weeks, Brother and Sister Wood, Brother Wood coming and being such a servant, working with the sound. Great, great man of God. And it's good to be here with Brother Hamby. I appreciate Brother Teddy Hamby and his work with the music. One of the most talented musicians you'd ever want to know. And I appreciate him and his good spirit. It's good to see, again, Brother Blankenship, Brother Campbell, Brother Sheldon. Glad that you're here. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate that testimony tonight. Amen. I'm glad to be preaching from a book that is alive. Hallelujah. The Word of God is alive. You know, if I didn't believe the Word of the Lord was alive, and I read stories about David going down to the valley and slaying a giant, I'd say that's a good story, but it doesn't do much for me in my time. When I read the stories of how Daniel was cast in the lion's den and how that God stopped the mouths of the lion, if I didn't believe that the Word of God is alive, if I just read it from a historical standpoint, I'd say, well, that's a great story, but what does it do for me? If I didn't believe that the Word of God was alive, if I just read it from a past perspective, I could read stories like Paul and Silas in the inner prison of the Philippi jail. And the Scripture says at midnight they began to sing songs and praise unto the Lord. And the prison doors came open. And I could say, that's a nice story, but what does it have to do with me? But because I believe that the Word of the Lord is alive, when I read stories about David going up against a giant, when I face giants in my life, I can know that the Lord is able to help me to bring them down. When I find myself in a den of despair, I know that God is able to deliver me out of it. He's able to stop the mouths of lions in my life. When I read stories about people being in bondage, I know that God is able to sever my chains. He's able to bring deliverance in my life because the Word of the Lord is alive. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And I'm just always amazed. And as we were hearing the preaching today, I thought about it again, how rich the Word of the Lord is, and just things come to surface. We want the Holy Ghost to have its way in this house tonight. How many wants to move the Holy Ghost? I mean, that's what you came for. Amen. I'm taking a little time, but that'll be okay. My sermon won't seem nearly as long, or won't be nearly as long as it seems tonight, I promise you. But I was on a fishing trip recently, and went to Lake Fork, which is a very famous fishing lake, a reservoir in our area. And after fishing a couple of days, and we were moderately successful, the guy that I was fishing with said, "Hey, why don't we this evening hire a guide to take us out? They know the lake. They fish here every day. Maybe we'll be a little bit more successful." And so we went out that afternoon with a guide, and it was quite pricey, but we were willing to do it. We only was going to do this once in the whole year. And so we met him at the boat dock, and I looked at this boat that probably was every bit of $60,000, $70,000, a brand-new Ranger, the Mercury outboard motor, all of the electronics and the technology, enough electronics to outfit a Radio Shack on it, and all the big screen computers telling you where all the fish were, front and back, and I was just amazed by everything. We took off from the marina, and he was just kind of trolling along, and I thought to myself, now this fellow knows that we're racing the sun and we only have a few hours and we're paying him handsomely to bring us to the fish, and surely he's going to get on the program. And finally, after he just kind of was going along there, I said, what are we looking for here? I noticed he was looking around. He said, "You see those big white birds right over there that's standing and look like they were just out in the surface of the water, and they were reaching down in the water and getting bait fish. He said, "You see those birds right over there?" He said, "That's what we're looking for, because where those birds are," he said, "underneath them is bait fish, and underneath the bait fish is the fish we're fishing for." And I thought to myself, we're on a $70,000 boat, fitted out with all of these electronics, and we're looking for a white bird. Not much difference here tonight. We've got a great facility. We've had some awesome music, singing. We've got all this technology. But you know, there's just one thing we're looking for tonight. We're looking for the Holy Ghost to show up. We're looking for the Holy Ghost to have its way. We want the Spirit of the Lord to move in this house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Thank you for the accommodations. Great gift bag. I can always tell when Sister Weeks is the one that does the gift basket, because I can live on it for the next 6 months. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. Amen. I'm doing my best to whittle it down. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading with verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." I want to preach by the help of the Lord for the next few moments, a fire within. A fire within. Praise the Lord. I want to see a baptism of fire in the lives of young people and adults here tonight. We want the Spirit of the Lord to move. Why don't you bind together with somebody near you, and let's pray together that the Lord would have His way in the remainder of this service. Jesus, we're asking You to help us. We pray, God, for Your strength. We need so desperately Your anointing. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Come on, let's reach out to Him. Let's talk to Him. Let's seek Him. Let's call upon Him right now. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. I thank You, Lord. Would you clap your hands to Him one more time before you're seated? Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. A fire within. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear in this passage that I read to you from tonight that the Spirit of God working in us is revolutionary. It's a revolutionary experience. It is transformational. It's liberating. And it is life-changing. He describes it as a treasure. And aren't you thankful for the treasure that you have? A treasure in earthen vessels. All of us may readily admit that sin is in our nature. We have the propensity of sin. It is in our DNA. We inherit it. We have an Adamic nature. We are fallen creatures with a fallen nature. But the Apostle Paul makes the case here that the solution for the sin problem is the infilling of the Spirit of God. It is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God within us, permeating every crevice and crack of our character. We need something to renew our minds. We hear a lot about spiritual renewing, but can I tell you that that is a part of it, the renewing of our minds? You think differently. Oh yeah, the Bible said, be not conformed, but be renewed in your minds. I don't want to let this world shape my thinking. I don't want to let this world shape my philosophy and my ideas, the way that I govern my life. Amen. But I want to be renewed in my mind, my thoughts, my concept, and my focus to be renewed. We need a cleansing. We need a fire within. The only thing that man has found that works from a natural standpoint with the disease of cancer is something called chemotherapy. Chemotherapy tries to eradicate cancerous cells by flooding our human system and killing every cell that it comes in contact with. It kills good cells and bad cells. It is a scorched earth plan of attack. We use one poison in an attempt to destroy another poison. This is a perfect picture of what the world tries to do. The world tries to deal with the sin problem by using a sinful nature of man to find a solution. They say, don't drink and drive. It's dangerous. It kills people. It takes human life. But this advice is followed up with something like this. Drink responsibly. Use a nature that is already out of control. A nature that has no moderation. A nature that has no temperance. A nature that is given to worldly desires. And try to stop the scourge of death that come as a result of drinking and driving. They are trying to resolve one sin with the invention of a sinful nature. And it simply doesn't work. We put people in prison, and our prisons are full for the things that they do wrong. And this is really the only way that I know to take care of the problem. But it only deals with the surface issue. It's proven by the recidivism rate that is continually growing that prisons are not reforming people. Trying to stop the sin problem with the inventions of a sinful nature simply doesn't work, because none of these things attack the desire for sin. It doesn't get down to the root of the matter. Man needs help from outside of himself in order to be whole, in order to be restored, in order to be healed. Evil cannot eradicate sin. Sin cannot eradicate sin. Man cannot heal himself. Something holy must be injected into all of us. Something pure. Something that is untainted by a sin nature. Something that comes from a holy God. Now, most theologians agree that the 8th chapter of the book of Romans really encompasses the theme of the book of Romans, and it is really just the central chapter that everyone refers to. When they read the book of Romans, it seems to encapsulate all of the things and the themes that are in this book in chapter 8. And so we find that this carries the essence of it. In Romans chapter 8, it's talking about flesh versus the spirit. Our spirit versus the flesh. And chapter 8, it begins by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak
through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then in verse 9, it goes on to say that ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Amen. We can close the argument right there that the Holy Ghost is just an added blessing. Amen. It's not even debatable whether the Holy Ghost is necessary, but I can prove it to you biblically that you must have the Holy Ghost to be saved, because this verse says that if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're none of His. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, for His Spirit dwelleth in you. Aren't you thankful in that great getting up day, the rapture of the church, that if you have the Holy Ghost, there's something that's going to transpire. There's going to be a quickening in your mortal bodies. And the Bible says we're going to rise to meet Him in the air. Amen. I do believe in the necessity of the Holy Ghost. But the Bible said in verse 3, what the law could not do. This proves that our fleshly attempts, our fleshly ingenuity, leaves us feeling futile sometimes, and weak, and unable to overcome. In the Old Testament, God moved from an exterior standpoint. God was always on the outside. The Spirit moved upon man. The Spirit moved into the camp. The cloud moved. The pillar of fire, it moved. Everything was from an exterior standpoint. But there came a time when Jesus said, I have been with you, but in not many days I shall be in you. That's why that scripture is so powerful, that tells us that greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. Praise God. I've got something on the inside that is more powerful than the works of the devil. I've got something on the inside that is stronger than temptation. I've got something on the inside that gives me the ability to stand when the pressure is on. I don't have to give in to the whims of the flesh. I don't have to give in to the sin nature that I was born with. But I've got something on the inside. Greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. Somebody ought to rejoice about the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, when you got the Holy Ghost, you didn't just get a spare tire. You didn't just get an added blessing, but you got power to overcome the devil. You got power to live righteously. You got power to overcome temptation. You got power to walk right. You got power to live right. You got power, amen, to live above the condemnation and the accusing of the devil. Praise God. Clap your hands and let's worship Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is a fire within. Romans the 8th chapter talks about a new man. It talks about a new creation. It talks about a new purpose. It talks about a new purpose with new passions. If your desires and your passions haven't changed, you need to check your experience. If you're not a different individual after receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, you need to check your experience. Because my Bible says when He comes, it makes all things new. I don't believe in this stuff that people are tongue talkers and they're still having trouble with cigarettes. I don't believe in this stuff that people are tongue talkers and they're still having trouble drinking on the weekends. believe when you get the Holy Ghost, it takes those desires, it takes those passions, it takes those longings, it takes those cravings, it takes those tendencies out of you. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, and all things become new. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The world doesn't have the pull that it used to have on me. I got something on the inside of me that's greater than all of that. That's more wonderful than all of that. I've heard a lot of people talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. I've heard a lot of old saints of God testify about the experience of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I've heard some that lived in the world maybe for many years and came in later in life and received this experience of the Holy Ghost stand up and testify about how great and wonderful it was. I've never heard one of them say, you know what, I wish I'd have waited a little bit longer and experienced a little bit more of the world before I came to God. But I've heard the contrary many times, that the only regret that I have is that I didn't come to a Pentecostal altar sooner, that I didn't repent of my sins a long time ago, that I didn't get this glorious Holy Ghost a long time ago. Because this experience of the Holy Ghost, there's nothing that this world has that can perish to it. There's nothing that this world can offer, amen, that can measure up to it. The Holy Ghost is the most wonderful experience that any person could receive. And could I just say this? You can come from anything to this, but you can't go from this to anything else, because this is it. This is everything. This experience of the Holy Ghost is the most wonderful thing that this world has. Holy Ghost will change you. I said it'll change you. I'll tell you about a renewing of the Holy Ghost. It'll bring you back on track. It'll get you thinking right again. That's what some young folks need here tonight, is the good old fashioned praying through in the Holy Ghost. I simply don't believe in the idea that once you receive the Holy Ghost that there's never a need to be renewed again. I came from an area of the country that taught that almost like a doctrine, Brother Blankenship, that once you ever receive the Holy Ghost, you really don't need to be renewed. What's all the fuss about speaking in tongues again? If you did it one time, that's enough, and that'll last you as long as you live, as long as your Christian experience, amen, as long as your faith can come to church, there's never a need to be renewed again. I cut my teeth on that stuff. I still got splinters up between my teeth. Cut my teeth on that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, that's a doctrine of the devil. Because we don't believe in that damnable doctrine of once saved and always saved. Paul told Titus, he said, you know how you're going to be saved? It's by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So right here at youth camp tonight, there's some people that need to pray until you pray through and are renewed in the Holy Ghost. Pray until you talk in tongues. Pray until you break through. Pray until renewal and revival comes to your spirit. Praise God. It's the Spirit of the Lord. You walk not after the flesh. Is that what he said? But after the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. We walk after. That means we're pursuing. Always pursuing. Always being led. Always being directed. Always endeavoring to be sensitive to. Always flowing in the Holy Ghost. Always coming to every church service hungry, with bated breath, with a spiritual appetite. Preacher, preach to me. I need to be washed with the Word of God. Come on, you're living in a world that is corrupt. You're living in a world that is filthy and it's evil and it's wicked. And only a little while rubbing shoulders with this world and some of that trash rubs off on you. Amen. And that's why you need to be in church at Wednesday night Bible study and get the Word of God, because it's like taking a spiritual bath. You're washed by the Word of God. It cleanses things out of your spirit. It gets rid of what Brother Townley talked about today. It washes that spirit of anger out of you. Rebellion out of you. Resentment out of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. It gets down to the root of the matter. Praise God. Amen. I remember now. I got a little ways to go, folks. So you guys all up here, I hope you can ride with me. I'm going to be standing, so I guess you can stand. My mother at times would have a flower garden, and it fell my duty. She was pretty apt at planting them. She just wasn't apt at watering and taking care of them. And that was my responsibility. And so she'd say, "Now, Jason, I want you to go out there and I want you to weed that flower garden." You know, you after a while, you can't tell what's flowers and what's weeds because the weeds are growing higher. And it's always amazed me that weeds, I mean, you got to get the perfect soil, perfect fertilizer. Everything's got to line up just right. You plant elder at the right time to get plants to grow and something that's worthwhile to grow. But weeds, they show up voluntarily. Yeah. And she'd say, "Go out there." You know, I was rambunctious. I wanted to do other things. There was boys wanting to play basketball. And there was other things to do. And go out there and take care of those weeds. And so I did. And I'd go and pull the tops off of them. And it wasn't long until my sins would find me out. In just a few days, those same weeds would sprout back up in the same places because I hadn't taken the time. It takes a little effort sometimes to pull them out by the roots. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes you got to get down on an altar. And you can't do it with a drive-through mentality. You can't get there just coming down and saying, "God, I'm going to give you about 3 minutes. And if I don't feel it, then I'm going to get up and go to the concession stand. God, I'm going to give you about 5 minutes here. And if I don't break through, then I'm going to go on and talk to the rest of the youth group." No, sometimes you may have to wallow in the floor. You may have to repent and cry and sob. It's not a little bit, but you get down to the root of the matter. Get that thing dug up. You say, "Preacher, you don't understand. I have uncontrollable urges and desires and temptations and tendencies." I tell you, what we need is somebody to get down to the root and dig that thing up and let the Holy Ghost do work in your life. I'm telling you, a move of the Holy Ghost can do more than a whole lot of our efforts. I found out that the people that I counsel the most in my office are the people that spend the least amount of time in my altars. The least amount of time in the prayer room, and the most unfaithful to the church. Those people that are eager to get down there and get in the altar. Those folks that are eager to get to the house of God early to pray. There's a lot of things that take care of themselves in a Holy Ghost church service. That's why you need to stay connected. That's why every time we come to the house of God, we need to have a move of God. I'm not interested in playing church in 2014. I'm not interested in just going through the motions and marking time and just going through a little traditional routine of 3 songs and a sermon and us all go home. I want God to move. I want the Holy Ghost to have its way. I want the fire to do its work. Firefighters have learned that the most effective weapon against wildfire is not water, but it's fire itself. Amen. It's fire. They get out in front of that fire and they use a backfire and they burn up all the fuel, because fire's got to have fuel to burn. And they burn it all up and that fire will extinguish itself. Amen. It's fire itself. that is the greatest weapon against fire. Can I tell you, when you're more passionate about worship than you are about the NFL, when you're more excited about going to church than keeping up with the NBA, when you're more enthusiastic about reaching the world than you are who wins the World Cup. Come on, I'm going to find you tonight. Or your career, or your education, or money, or possessions, or wealth, or material things. When you're more passionate about coming to church and having a move of God than you are about dressing up and just being seen, amen, that's when the fire can do its work in your life. Come on, if they're going to stadiums and clapping their hands until they're blood red and screaming until they lose their voice and painting themselves up, amen, we ought to come to the house of God and not be ashamed to worship God. Not be ashamed to praise God. Not be ashamed to raise our hands. Not be ashamed to lift our voice. Yes, we need a fire within. That's what's going to take care of worldliness. That's what's going to take care of carnality, is a fire within. Because young people that have a fire within, they're not interested in being worldly. They're not interested in looking like the things that are out there. They're not interested in participating in carnality. They're not interested in going along with the trends of this world. They got something on the inside of them that's greater than all of that. And I tell you that there's some things that fire does. Amen. Fire purifies. Many times in areas where wildfire, I used to live out west, where wildfires are an issue, they have what they call controlled burns. Amen. This is where at certain seasons of the year, when the wind isn't blowing and the weather's not too dry, they will purposely begin a fire. It burns out all the underbrush and all of the dead foliage that's accumulated over the years, because things build up over time. Can I tell you that in our lives, in our emotional lives, we can become overgrown with underbrush and dead foliage from something that happened years ago. Some offense, something that was a wrong against you, some deal that you haven't dealt with. Oh, we need to let the fire of the Holy Ghost purify us. Come on, don't live. Come on, if I could just tag on to what Brother Townley was dealing with here today. Don't live and try to get by and try to skim over that bitterness and that anger and that hostility that is down in your heart. Don't try to just get by with that offense and that bad attitude. Our spirits can become so cluttered. They can accumulate so much that it affects your attitude and your spirit when you come to the house of God. It affects your worship. It affects your ability to really break through. It affects your ability to really receive what you need in an apostolic church service. That's right. Come on, you think your bedroom's cluttered. You think your garage is cluttered. If you can look into some of our spirits here tonight, amen, there's some clutter. There's some things that are there that need to be dealt with in the Holy Ghost. We need the fire to purify us. We need the Holy Ghost to root those things out. Brother Weeks and I exchange a lot of reading material and different thoughts. You know, matter of fact, it's hard preaching to camp when your best buddy's in the audience, because I can't hardly tell what's from God and what's from Ben Weeks. I have to discern what's where I'm getting it all from. Praise God. But he showed me where to read about these cuckoo birds that build a robin or another species of birds will build a nest, lay its eggs, and that cuckoo
cuckoo bird sitting off in the distance watching all of this. And at the opportune time, after the robin has laid its eggs, it comes into that nest where that robin is and casts the robin's eggs out and then lays its own eggs and lets the robin nurture and take care of it. And then when these eggs are hatched, this robin, it is said, spends 16 to 18 hours a day feeding the cuckoo bird, nurturing the cuckoo bird, taking care of something that's not even his. Amen? 10 times as much effort goes into feeding the cuckoo bird and take care of the cuckoo bird than it would its own robin had its own eggs hatched. How many times do we come to the house of God? How many times do we come to church and we're nurturing some old... We spend as much energy and more nurturing some old foul spirit. Something that happened 20 years ago. And it's not only affecting you, sir, but it's affecting your wife. And it's not only affecting her, but it's affecting your children. And we spend a whole lot of time nurturing those things and taking care of those things. Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier to get down in an altar and let the fire of the Holy Ghost purify us and get that out of us and deal with that? The Word of God, when we look into that mirror of the Word of God and it shows us something, it's then that you need to deal with it. It's then that you need to take care of it. Not only does the fire purify, the fire protects. God sent the fire to protect the children of Israel in the wilderness. It covered them. It kept them warm in that desert climate. It kept the wild beast at bay. Paul said, we have this treasure. Treasure is to be protected. Treasure is something that needs to be nurtured. Treasure is something that is to be valued. Amen. Come on, there's some things that the Holy Ghost will not allow me to involve myself in. There's some areas that I cannot afford, amen, to engage in that activity because I got treasure on the inside of me. I said I got treasure on the inside of me. But not only do I do my best to protect it, but I believe that the Lord will help us. The psalmist said, the angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear Him. Amen. There's something about staying full of the Holy Ghost that protects us from a whole lot of things. There's something about staying full of the Holy Ghost that protects us from the worldly influences that are out there. I told you last night that my daughter talked us into buying a little. No, we didn't buy it. It was actually my son and daughter-in-law bought it, and they decided that they couldn't take care of it. So guess what? I got it. Now I've been buying ever since. Veterinary. And I never thought I could spend that much money on a little dog. And it wasn't long after getting that puppy that I started noticing. We've never had an inside dog. I'm not much on inside dogs. God bless you if you are. But I just, what you'll do for your daughter. And I got to noticing that thing was chewing on furniture. And furniture's not cheap. I said, man, if you want that dog to live, Chanel, you better figure something out quick. And so I got to wondering, what in the world can we do to... I mean, dogs have just got a chewing nature. They got a tendency to chew on something. And especially when they get nervous or you run off and leave them, and they're going to chew the house down if you're not careful. Remember, we had a Labrador for about 1 year, and I replaced the siding. I had one little place on the house that had siding, and that chewed that siding up twice, and I replaced it, and I said, no more. I tried every kind of spray. I tried every kind of everything I could do. I beat that dog within an inch of its life, and it still chewed everything. We threw some limbs from a deal we was decorating in the backyard just to hold them over for a few days before we get somebody to haul them off, come back out there looking for the limbs, and they were all chewed up.
sawdust. I said, my Lord, this dog is unbelievable. So I went down to the pet store. I said, you got anything for a chewing dog? And they introduced me to the Kong. Now, this is just one of them. They got different shapes of them. And this right here is some indestructible stuff. I mean, I haven't tested this one particularly, but I've got another one. You know, this message cost me $15 tonight. Because I had to go down and get another one because I've already threw the other one to the dogs. And this Kong is made out of some kind of indestructible material. And it has an opening here in it on the inside. And they have another piece to this system you put in here. It's called a Ziggy. You put that Ziggy down in that Kong. That Ziggy smells like a Big Mac. And when you fit that Ziggy in there, it's not coming out. And you throw that to the dog. That dog will nearly kill itself trying to get to that Ziggy. It'll eat and it'll chew and it'll wallow and it'll howl, it'll groan, it'll claw, it'll do everything. But it can't get to it. Amen. No matter what it tries to do, no matter how much effort it spends, it just can't get to it. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, young person, when you get in this thing called the church, when the devil comes around trying to devour, when the devil comes around trying to destroy, when the devil comes around trying to chew up your victory, eat up your praise, it can't get to it. It's well, if you think I'm going to get out of the church, you got another thing coming. Amen. Because I protect it as long as I stay in the church. I'm going to be all right as long as I stay in the church. I realize the detriment that's in this world. Even men are waxing worse and worse. This world is becoming worse every day. But thank God we've got a shelter. We've got a place of protection called the Church of the Living God. And that's why, again, when we come to church, we really do need a move of the Holy Ghost. Zechariah 2:5 says, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. He said, I'm going to put glory, I'm going to put anointing, I'm going to put something precious in the midst of her, and I'm going to put fire round about her to protect her. That's why we need the fire of the Holy Ghost in every church service, every camp meeting, every special meeting. We need God to move. We need God to work. We need God to have His way. That's why I'm not afraid. Amen. When young people get a little enthusiastic and want to shout and want to praise God, I'm not intimidated by that. Amen. I don't at all try to discourage young people from being excited about the things around the house of God. Because if we could stay in here where the fire is, the world wouldn't have any influence on us. We need the Holy Ghost to breathe through here tonight. We need the Holy Ghost to inundate some people here tonight. We need the Holy Ghost to sweep through this house tonight. A fire within! Come on, young person, why don't you lift up your hands right now and let's worship Him. Oh yeah, I feel it here. I feel it in this place right now. The fire finally produces power. The Spirit of God is more than just a redeeming spirit. But according to this scripture that I read to you tonight, it's not only a redeeming spirit, but it's a resurrection. A resurrecting spirit. It's more than just a ticket to heaven. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10 says, always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. It says that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Resurrection power is not just for the rapture, but we're carrying resurrection power on the inside of us. We need it every day. Matter of fact, we need it in this meeting here tonight. We need the Lord to resurrect some things that's been weakened. We need the Lord to resurrect some things that the devil's tried to kill and steal and destroy. Amen. We need to resurrect a prayer life here tonight. We need to resurrect some worship around here tonight. We need to resurrect some joy in the Holy Ghost here tonight. Come on, young person. Come on, young married couple. It's time to get your harp off the willow tree and get your worship back. Get your praise back. Get your singing back. Get your prayer back. Get your thanksgiving unto the Lord back. Well, you just don't understand what I've been through. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side. That's the outward. Yet not distressed. That's something within. We are perplexed. That's the outward. That's what's going on in the outside. But not in despair. That's within. Persecuted. That's without. But not forsaken. That's within. Cast down. That's without. Amen. But not destroyed. That's within. We got something on the inside of us. But no matter what's going on the outside, we can still have joy. We can still have the peace of God. We can still rejoice. We can still get in His presence. That fire within. You know, a vehicle has to have fire. Now, I'm not a mechanic, and I've had a few vehicles that tried to make me one, especially when I was evangelizing. They tried to make me one, but I'm not a mechanic. But I'm told that fire and electricity is the two really common things that make an engine go. You got to have fire, and you got to have the electric part of the vehicle going in order to make it go. My wife, we bought her a new vehicle, and we was taking it over to Nashville and driving back on Interstate 40. And that's a long, boring road back, especially when you get on the other side of Memphis and you're coming through northeast Arkansas or whatever it is up there. It's flat and it's rice fields as far as the eye can see. And I don't know what it is about me, but I have an aversion to pumping gas. I mean, I don't like it. And that little thing, warning device came on and said, you got 50 miles. I said, man, there's bound to be another gas station 50 miles. Keep going. I passed one in about 10 miles. I said, you know, 40 more miles, there's bound to be another gas station in 40 miles. And I drove. And it was about 12 midnight. And all of a sudden, 0 miles. I said, oh, Lord. Amen. Not only am I going to be walking, but Mama isn't going to be too happy about this deal. Brand new vehicle pulled off the side of the road in the middle of the night. And I could see the lights of a gas station up there. But it was about a mile down the road. Good thing it's flat in northeast Arkansas. Because me and my youngest boy, we had to get out and push that thing literally for about a mile. And then we got to that exit ramp. And I said, buddy, this is the last little bit here, but it's going to take all the rest of our energy to get there. And we pushed that thing all the way up to the gas pump. And I was drenched with sweat. And when I got there, bless your heart, I said, I don't care how much it cost. You don't put a little bit in it. You put it until it's running out of it. You fill it up. I never have understood anybody that just barely get by with their thing on E all the time. Amen. And they just won't put $5 in. Take all that effort to go to the gas pump, put $3 in. You know how long nowadays it takes to put $3 worth of gas in? Amen. You can't even get a gallon of gas for $3. I said, fill it up. I don't care how much it costs. Fill that dude up until it's running over. Come on, when we leave this youth camp, we need to make up our mind. We're not just getting enough to get home. We're not just getting enough from Sunday to Sunday. We're not just getting enough to last us for a little while. But my God, we got a long trip here. And we're going to get all we can get. We're going to get renewed and refreshed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill me up, Jesus. Put something in me that'll help me to go home on fire for you. Put something in me that'll help me to go home and be a blessing to my church and my pastor. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled. Everybody say filled. With the Spirit. Amen. We need something to fill us. We need something to totally consume us and renew us. Amen. Musicians, would you come please? Many of you may have had the privilege of meeting Brother Ike Terry, a very fascinating individual. I had opportunity as an evangelist to preach in that assembly many times, and very unusual, eccentric man, but very successful. I've seen a lot of people try to copy him, but I think when God created I.H. Terry, he threw away the mold after he got done. And he liked to kind of debate with his young preachers that he was developing, and sometimes he would debate on subjects, and he would take the opposite side just to strengthen them. And they were debating, not because he believed in this, but they were debating the subject of predestination. Him and a young preacher in his church, it was also his nephew, Brother Jesse Parker, who pastors in Oregon. And they were debating predestination. And in their conversation, going back and forth, Brother Terry looked him dead in the eyes. He said, "Now I'm serious about this, Jesse." He said, "I'll never backslide. I'll never backslide." And this took Brother Parker aback. He said, how could you say that? He took issue with it. He said, "How could you make a statement like that? Are you telling me that you don't have the capacity to backslide?" He said, "I'm telling you, I'll never backslide." He said, "I don't know about that, Brother Terry." He said, "Never." And then he said this. He said, "The reason is because I've got something in me. I've got something in me." Well, Brother Parker said it was just after that that Brother Terry, and again, he was developing and he was shaping Brother Parker into being a man of God. He said, "He hardly spoke to me again." He said, "I would come to church, sit faithfully on the pew. He would use other young men. He wouldn't use me." He said, "He would pass by me. He wouldn't speak to me." He said, "It was especially awkward because I was his nephew." He said, "I would go down to the altar and I really would desire him to come pray with me. Maybe I was going through something and I really desired him to lay hands on me and pray for me. And I never had him come and wrap his arm around me. For the space of 2 years, he hardly spoke to me at all." He said it was a very trying time. He said it was so bad and noticeable to others that other young men in the church come up to him and say, "Man, I wouldn't put up with this. I wouldn't tolerate that kind of treatment." And he said on one particular night, one man came up to him and said, I don't know how you're taking it." And he said it was that night that Brother Terry preached that I came down to the altar. And he said, "I was going through a very trying time with all of this. I raised my hands and I began to cry out to God and weep with my eyes closed. And all of a sudden I felt the hand someone on my forehead praying for me, and I heard the distinct voice of Brother Terry, and he was weeping. He was praying with me. And he bent down and whispered in my ear, and he said, 'Jesse,' he said, 'do you remember what I told you when I said that I've got something in me that I'll never backslide?'
He said, now, he said, I believe you got that in you too. You got something on the inside of you. You're going to make it. You're going to be a success. Because you've got something.
Apostle Peter said, make your calling and election sure. And by doing so, you shall never fall. Get something on the inside of you, young person. Get something on the inside of you, young adult. Get something on the inside of you. Say to God, get something on the inside that's burning so hot and that is so strong that you would never go back. Praise the Lord. I feel something special in this altar. I feel a touch of God in this place. There's people that God's dealing with here. Amen. The Holy Ghost is moving right here today. Why don't we step out from where we are and make our way down to this altar? I'm calling everybody around this front. Come as close as you can. Reach over that person that is beside you if it's appropriate. And I want you to pray with them. God, let something happen. Let us get a fire within. Let something burn deep in our spirit tonight. Let something move in our hearts. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let a fire burn in me. Let a fire burn in me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Come on, let's talk to God. Let's reach out to the Lord in these altars. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's take advantage of this time. It's time to seek Him. It's time to call on Him. It's time to reach out to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, put something within me, God.